Oh, praise the Lord. Today we're going to speak on the shaping power of prayer. Everybody say shaping. There's something about prayer that has a shaping ability on our life. And the first thing we're going to look at will be foundational. But this is an interesting verse. Seth, also a son, was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the first time in the Bible that prayer is even mentioned. This is the first time. And what's going on here is this son, Seth, is actually a replacement for Abel that was killed. And so you see that the desperate work of murder and the work of, in other words, prayer is birthed out of the reality that we ain't doing so good. Does that make sense? And so prayer, it starts in the Bible in that context. And this is what Jesus said about prayer. He says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is Jesus establishing something about the Father's heart and about how He wants to meet needs. God's burning passion for intimacy with us far surpasses any mustering of will or zeal that we can manage. Prayer means that you're not alone. Prayer means God is listening. Prayer means help is within reach. Prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with God. Prayer is a request that God get involved in our desires and needs and troubles. How many of you have gone to the Lord in prayer and just said, oh man, I need some help right now? How many of you know if He can change on what's on the inside of you, everything else will be all right?
Right.
So it's getting God involved in what's really going on is how you perceive and what's going on with the situation. It's just a heart-to-heart thing. We're going to talk about that part first. Go ahead. Prayer is a means by which God rewards you. It's the way where He's, you know, nobody's listening and you talk. How many of you had moments where you've prayed and then nobody knows you've prayed that and then God manifests something and shows you up? And I want to stir this up. Last week we talked about worship. These are some foundational things we want to just establish at the first of the year. Guys, look, one of the reasons we believe that Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer, correct? And that's why we turn and pray with and for one another. Some people aren't comfortable with it. It's okay. Yeah, I wasn't comfortable with it. The first time I went in there to a place that did this, I was like, and I knew the Lord for years. I'd known the Lord for years. For years. And I still couldn't pray very well. But I was in a church that actually did this. And within one year, I could actually be led of the Holy Spirit to speak prophetically. That means with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to speak words that into the prayer that cause things to be lifted off of people, to be release healing things, to release this assurance. It's like, wow, God wants, I get to do this? This is amazing. And so, but it starts with this heart-to-heart thing. It talks with the sharing of your heart with God and having a relationship with God. And then it goes on and you develop, you learn how to tell your needs to the Lord. It's a means by which He rewards you. And prayer is a means by which God's will is ordained, is obtained. Prayer is also a means to overcome temptation. How many of you remember? We'll get to this in a little while, but how many remember in the garden Jesus said, guys, just can't you pray with me 1 hour and, you know, to deal with the temptation? How many of you know, if you're a person in prayer that prays a lot and you're in touch with the Lord and having an intimate relationship with God and you're asking for God's help to overcome things, how many of you know what, if you have that kind of environment in your heart, the temptation comes along and it's, there's more of an authority to deal with it. Whereas if prayer is not a part of your life, there's no buffer. And the devil comes along and says, grabs you in the hooks here in the nose, and you just go wherever the hell he wants to take you. Because there's no prayer. And how many of you know that he'll take you into a hellish situation? Prayer is a means by which we overthrow the works of the devil in Jesus' name. Prayer is a means by which you give God room, I love this one, to weigh in on a situation. Prayer is a means by which you cross over from a place of torment to peace, from intimidation to authority. Wow. You're in one situation, you experience the power of prayer, and now you're on this side of the situation. You're over here in torment, some prayer happens, and you're over here in peace. You're over here, you're intimidated, the prayer happens, you're over here in a place of authority. Prayer is a means that God has graced us with all of His resources to cause things to happen that can't happen if we don't understand the resources. And let me throw some of you at you. The name of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, the Spirit of thanksgiving, praying in the Spirit, all these are tools that we use in prayer. Prayer is a means of releasing God's purpose in your life and in the earth. And I think the next one is my last one in this section. In essence, this is a good one. It's my favorite. The answer to every prayer, everybody read it out, is more of God. The answer to every prayer is more of God. When He weighs into the situation and He shows up, the resources are taken, it's how everything's taken care of. So you and I should just go ahead and go for more of God. I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking laying hold of the one who has everything and is in charge of everything. Amen? Plug it in. So, intimate relationship with God it requires some quiet time. How many of you have busy minds? How many of your minds race around doing all kinds of stuff? Is that right? What do you do to cause your mind to come to a place of peace? That's going to be important. Because I want to talk for a minute about four little things that you do to grow foundationally and have a relationship with God. They're all sitting right there on the paper. First one is to quiet your mind. The devil doesn't want you to have a talk with the Lord, and he doesn't want the Lord to talk to you. He just doesn't want it. So you're always going to have an interruption of some sort. If you can carve out some kind of a spot, some kind of a way that you can quiet your mind before the Lord, and there's a verse there, and the verse declares, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in Him." And this is getting the clutter out of your world and getting all everything subdued. I know there are some of you that you get up in the morning, you maybe work really early, and you take time to pray in the car on the way. And that's a blessed thing. I'm telling you, praying in the car is a great thing. Because you're just, you know, you're doing something second nature. You're driving along, so might as well do something else second nature. But, and some of this can all be done that way. It's true. I like to sit with the Lord in the morning and talk with Him. The second thing it says, and this is really important if you'll do this, is to focus your mind. You quiet your mind, and number two, if you look at the paper, you focus it. This is one of the most beautiful things that I've discovered about spending time with the Lord. It's this. He has a song for you to sing to Him. But I'll sit with the Lord and I say, "What do you want me to sing to you?" And something will bubble up. And it's so meaningful. It's amazing how meaningful it is. You just sing and instantly your spirit enters into His presence. And it's now you and Him time. The protocol of heaven is thankfulness. To enter God's presence, you come thankfully. How many of you, when somebody walks into your presence griping and complaining, that gets you excited to talk with them? How many of you? Is there a difference if somebody comes into your presence and they're very thankful? Yes. Well, you're made in God's image. And God says, if you want to come into my presence. Now, there's a time to pour out complaint. And that's to discharge the complaint. And the Lord has a psalm all about that. But to daily be thankful and to daily sing and to daily worship Him. And there's a verse on that. It says, Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all of His wondrous works. And then, this is the next one, pray your mind. Prayer is the transference of a burden. This is the time for you and not so much time for praying for other people. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. If you still have the burden after you've prayed, you've only griped, because you haven't transferred the burden over to Him. Isn't that amazing? You need to spend the time and say, I'm going to give this to You. I'm going to pray what's on my mind. And I'm going to give You this. How many of you need some help during the day? If you sit there, some of you just jump up and run into the day, and the day goes boom, 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 clobbers you, and you will come out at the end of the day and go, I hated today. It was so hard. Is that right? You get up in the morning and you say, Lord, some of the things I don't know if I can handle very well. I got all this and this and this, and I didn't sleep so good. And I was like, Lord, would You come in and take care of some of this stuff and help me? I just pray. The next thing you know, peace begins to invade your heart. Things begin to change. You begin to feel better. You say, okay, Lord. And you have a witness on the inside that God's going to be with you. This is good stuff. This is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ where we pray and we get to know one another. Now, this last one is extremely helpful. Renew your mind. This is about taking some moments to read some passages of Scripture. When you read your Bible, this is where God talks to you. To develop hearing His voice. This is so key. Some of you go, how do you hear God's voice? How do you hear God's voice? This is how. Are you ready? Read the Bible. Write down what you think He's saying to you. And it begins to develop. We've been listening to Robert Morris on Wednesday nights. He's doing some teaching on this about being His sheep. Writing down what you think He's saying, and then suddenly you're quickened. It's not about being religious. It's not about trying to do something that you think pleases Him. It's about letting Him nurture something in you, and you respond to Him, and you begin to let... Because God wants to help you. If there's anything that I've discovered over the years, I was very, very full of pride, full of doubt, full of fear, full of everything. I was full of it. Full of rejection. I was full. Full. I was filling myself up on all kinds of stuff. How many of you have found out you can't feed the fed up? If you're full of something already, you got no room for God. You got no hunger for God. You got no time for God. If you're all full of everything, why don't you go ahead and diet some of the world? And turn the corner and say, hey, I'm going to spend some time and get in quiet my mind and focus my mind and sing praise and let Him pray my mind. You want, just do this. Do this for, I'll put out the 3-week challenge to you. Do this. Do this and watch your life change. And watch burdens, the things that have been so heavy and hard for you to deal with, begin to lighten up. I feel like the Lord's coming into this point because, and we'll get to the other side of this about the crisis of the soul. Most people end up in a crisis of the soul because they don't do the first thing. They don't learn to allow the Lord to come into the areas of their life. They don't invite Him in. They don't say, I need Your partnership, and then listen to what He's saying and write down and let Him hear. You know what happened last Sunday? Last Sunday I was standing here. How many were here last Sunday? I've told about a dozen of you already. Last Sunday, I finished that message on worship. I was standing right here, and my wife came up to direct the prayer time, coming down to receive prayer. I was standing right here, and the Lord whispered to me. He said, you're doing what I ask you to do. And I wanted to go over there and curl up in a little ball and cry for a while. How many of you need to hear what Jesus says to you? I just want to sit over there and go, you know, people come in and they're at all different levels of responsiveness. But you sow the seed. The Lord says, you're sowing it. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it. And I'm covet earnestly that the Lord would invade people's hearts with the profoundness of His love. Grace and truth. Jesus is grace and truth. How many of you get a little shy from too much truth shining on your soul, but you need a lot of grace to get used to it? And the Lord comes that way. He doesn't come and clobber you. He comes entreating you. He comes very lovingly. He comes, say, hey, come here, buddy. Come here, buddy. And you're like, you're walking along, and you know you're full of problems. You're walking along, and hey, I love you. But you have no idea. I'm God, I know. We both know you're a mess. That's okay. That's how we start. We start with everybody's a mess because everybody's fallen in sin. Everybody's a problem in their own heart, right? Sin is a problem. Guess what I did? You know, Jesus and I have something in common. We both suffered the consequences of my sins. I suffered the consequences. He suffered paying for them. He paid for them. His pain and suffering was paying for what I did wrong. Mine was, all of it went wrong. Jesus comes along and says, I've taken care of this for you. Come on, somebody. How many of you need a God that's not going to condemn you, but comes along and says, I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you. And this ministry is here to help you. This ministry is not here to put shove on you and say, you got to do this and this and this and this and this and this until you look like this. We can't accept you. That's not what we are. Because I was a broken down mess for years. Years. You have no idea. All the secret things going on in my head. And God says, still, come here, little buddy. I'm messed up. I know. It's okay. And then suddenly this leaves. I get used to living in the freedom of that. And then this leaves. I get used to living in the freedom of that. And I quit hating myself. And I like it. I like myself better. It's like, wow, that's crazy. Who would like me? I had no idea. I was living in L.A. and I thought all the people were looking at me. Isn't that stupid? Because I had a problem. God took that away. People are not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. The truth. When you get off and when you're bound up, you don't think right, right? Is that right? Come on. But we're committed to what Jesus does in the lives of people. And for you to make some early steps, it's just a refresher course. Right here, the first of the year, we want you to understand the power of worship in your life. We want you to understand the shaping influence of prayer. God has given prayer as a means for us to grow, a means for us to overcome, a means for us to break through, a means for us to get help. And so in the context of hearing, learning to hear, He says, I want you to grow in confidence. And so you want to ask on a daily basis, Lord, what do you want to tell me? How many of you have been afraid of that? How many of you got something you're not wanting yet to deal with? You know what? The Lord is so kind. He's like, when you're ready to deal with it, we'll deal with it. But until then, your life is going to implode. The pain is going to just keep getting greater and greater until you start to hate it because everything is going to fall apart anyway. He says, I've been around the human race a long time. I've seen a lot of folks resist me for no reason. I'm the one here who loves you and cares about you, and I want the best for you, and I know the pathway for that if you'll just come and sit before me and allow me to work in your life. And prayer is that breathing room before God to have a relationship. Let's go to the next part. Prayer's power during a crisis of the soul. You have some verses on the back of your paper there. And I want to read one of them and talk about it, read another one and talk about it, read another one and talk about it. Is that right? That's the pathway we're going to take today. Okay? Listen to this. In the days of his flesh, I got to stop there just for a second. In the days of Jesus' flesh, it just meant that he became a man. He put on human flesh. Everybody say, Jesus is sinless. But he put on flesh. Right? Okay, you and I, when we're in the flesh, it's not the same. When we're in the flesh, there's the works of the flesh. That's a whole nother message. But our flesh don't do so good because it's not sinless. But look at this now. Watch this. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he heard him because he was reverent, because of his reverence. Now look at this. Look, why in the world? And then it says the next thing, although he was a son, this is really mind-boggling. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus had to learn something? I thought he was already perfect. No, it says he was made perfect. What in the world? Now, you and I usually grow because we're miserable in our failure. But how many have had something happen to you that you didn't start it? And you go through suffering. That's the kind that Jesus, he was coming down here to solve our problem, and he went through suffering dealing with our issues, not with his issues. And he had to learn obedience even through suffering. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Jesus Christ learning obedience through suffering. It says, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And now, let's look at the next one. Let's look at the primary place where Jesus cried out in prayer with tears and loud cries. Where was that? He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at this next verse. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." I looked up the word sorrowful. It has to do with a sense of extreme grief, exceeding pain. Luke says that the pain was so great that when Jesus was praying, that he was sweating blood. This is, you don't think you've been in that level of intense pain where you're sweating blood drops. Jesus was in intense pain, exceeding sorrow. And he was crying out. And he had some issues he was dealing with. Because you and I need a God who's not just almighty, but we need someone who's vulnerable. We need to tap into somebody who cares and who feels what we feel and knows what we live, where we live. And not somebody who can cry because they're in pain because of the issues. And he had honest human doubt. He in his own man, this body he was in, he was like, "Father, take this cup from me. This is immense suffering, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Crying, intense, learning obedience through suffering, going through it. And there was something, over the years, I've studied this. What in the world? How come Jesus wasn't perfect already? Listen, he was tempted to self-preservation. He would say, "If there's another way through, preserve me from the pain I'm about to go through. If there's another way through," he was almost going to tap on his own self-sufficiency. He could have broke stride. He could have broke stride with the Lord. There's an old, I think Psalm 25, the Bible verse says, God has two things on his mind. It says he has the covenant and he has you. You're in his mind. And he's crying out in the depth of this pain. How many of you have suffered with your own sense of self-preservation and pull back? How many of you have said, "I got to do it my way. I don't want this." You know, one of the most amazing things to me is how people carry pain for a long time. They'll have a traumatic experience years ago and still carry the hurt and the pain of that in their body, in their life. And when that is still down in there, it causes other things to be affected in your life. There's not a level of freedom. And I'll never forget, you know, I hate to harp on this, but the times when I went through all the abuse. And walked around in it for years. I was a believer. I loved Jesus. But I wasn't healed on the inside. I was damaged deeply, and roots of bitterness and roots of abuse and rejection, all that stuff in there. God says, I want to get this out of your life. It was so painful. It was my Gethsemane. Gethsemane means oil press. And Jesus, sometimes he says, this Jesus went through this, see? This is what's wonderful. Jesus was tempted in every way like you and me, but without sin. But Jesus understands the nature of your pain. He understands the nature of what you go through. He understands. He understands every loss. He understands it. We got a God who got down here and understands it. Man, this is incredible. This is not like any other religion. We got God down here feeling what we feel. This is phenomenal. Nobody does this. But Jesus, the living Christ, he died for a sinner, rose up from the grave, and he's got good news for you. I've taken care of all of it, and I'll offload it for you, and I'll heal you on the inside, and I'll break the bondage, and I'll overthrow the pain, and I'll heal you, and you'll be better. And you know how we go? We go like this. That's a bit much. I don't know if I can handle all that. We'll go in steps. We'll go in steps. Once you get this little area done, you grow up and we'll get this area done. Amen. If you want to get this area done, we'll go ahead and get this area done. Aren't you glad he's nice? I think for me, if he'd have taken all of it out at once, I wouldn't have known who I was. I was my bondage. I was my failure. Who am I now? God says, well, here's what you are. You're the one I love. You're the one I love. Love heals. Perfect love casts out fear. God wants to transform. And it's in this crisis of soul. Crisis of soul can come at any time. Jesus was in a crisis of soul. You know, it's amazing. Right before that, he looked at Peter. He told Peter, oh my God, how many of you can relate to Peter? Peter is the perfect picture of human pride. How many of you, for the longest time, I just didn't think I had a pride problem. I really didn't. Me, no, I'm humble. I don't have a pride problem. Oh my gosh. Pride opens the door. Pride creates its own crisis. Is that right? Pride will just create crisis. Pride will cause crisis to come your way. Pride will cause you to fall. I don't need God's help. I can do this on my own. Blam. I don't need God's help. Blam. Blam. It's just what it is, man. Pride will always mess you up. And Peter, look at this. Jesus says to Peter, he looks at him, he says, okay, guys, and it's on the scripture there, he says, Satan has asked if he could sift you as wheat. Now, this next phrase is the only time it's in the Bible. But I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you. That your faith would not fail. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. Now, what does sift mean? Have you ever sifted anything? What is sifting? You separate something you want from something you don't want. And Satan has asked to sift you. But I have prayed for you. This is what I want to say. When you go through I can guarantee this. Jesus is the intercessor of the church. He prays for us. Can I guarantee where he prays for you? When you're being sifted. Jesus knows the heartache. He understands the level of surgery and the breakthrough and the things needed. And when his church are going through these crises of the soul and these upheavals, Jesus steps in and says, I'm praying for you. It's not going to be dark very long. You're going to break through. You're going to come out of this. It's going to be a good thing. You're going to see. It's going to be better. You're going to be better. You're going to be, I'm praying for you. I've already prayed for you. He's not going to take more advantage of you. We're just going to get rid of what you don't want anyway. You're going to sift it. And then it says, on their back there. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That is a mouthful. It is a massive mouthful. But basically it says all your fear comes from the fear of death. And Jesus has conquered death, and there's no reason for the fear now. Even when you die, you're in heavenly bliss with him. So he says, I've broken the power of death, and I've broken the fear of death. For surely it is not of angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers, so that he might become merciful, a merciful and high, faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And look at this last line. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I don't know if you're going through a crisis in your soul, but I just want to declare to you, this is a MASH unit in the middle of a war zone. If you've had something blow up in your life, you can come down here and receive ministry. There'll be nurturing prayer. There'll be all kinds of help. I wanted to establish two things today. The first is this. There's a pattern for you to develop a foundation of intimacy with God through quiet time with him. And number two, your way out through the stress and strain of a crisis of your soul is through prayer. Now let's lift our heads. Hallelujah. Let a healing balm, O Lord, let a healing balm of God come upon the heart. There are those, Lord, that have been in aches and pains of transition, have been unsettled, have been needy, and they're not certain what to do. And I just declare to them by your Spirit that the Lord is with you. The Lord is walking with you. He's walking beside you, and he's going to see you through. The Lord wants you to build, put your confidence in him and give him room to work in your life and to draw your heart into his presence and draw your heart into relationship with him. Just tell the Lord, I'll do that. Just go ahead and tell him, I'll do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's some of you, there's just in the near future, there's going to come some challenging times. And the Lord says, remember that I'm with you and I called you to this. I called you to go through what you don't think you can go through. But I'm going to be with you in it. If you're in the fire, I'm going to walk through you through with the fire. If you're in the water, you will not drown. I'll see you through the water. If there's a storm, I'm going to walk through with the storm with you. I'm not going to let you alone. You're going to establish your life. And when you come out the other side, people will know that I did it, and I'm good, and I'm your God, and we're taking care of you. The end. I was asked Lori here just to direct us in a time of receiving prayer.
Well, let's just pray right now. Father God, I just pray, Lord, as our hearts are being opened, Lord, that you're giving us the way out. That you stand at the door and knock, but you've given us the way out with the truth today through the word that Pastor shared. The Lord has given you a way out. You need to know that. He's giving you the way out. Thank you, Jesus. And he's just asking you to open your heart and receive as he's giving you the way out. So I want to invite the ministry team up. Amen. When you want Jesus, you want Jesus. You don't have to wait till the ministry team's up here if you want Jesus that bad. Come on up. There's no law that says you can't come to the altar and come to the... He's asking you. The Lord's asking you to do that. So, Lord, I just pray right now, a release of faith and grace to want more of you, to seek you with all of our hearts. Lord, you just stand at the door and knock. You just want us to open it. Lord, so I just invite anybody up here for a prayer today that wants to open their heart even further to the things of the Lord. If there's freedom you desire, if there's been a hindrance and you want us to agree with you in prayer, come on up. And then also, I want to encourage you that you can, at the end of the service, we have a bistro cafe that you can come and enjoy fellowship. And
let's go ahead and stand together.
Stand together, thank you.
Let's go ahead and stand together. As we dismiss, I want to, those that want further prayer, come on down. Come on down. You're dismissed.